What's up, Oos? Main event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Mom, can you tell me a story?
Sure. Once upon a time, a mom needed a new car.
Was she brave?
She was tired, mostly. But she went to Carvana.com and found a great car at a great price. No secret treasure map required.
Did she have to fight a dragon?
Nope. She bought it 100% online. From her bed, actually.
Was it scary?
Honey, it was as unscary as car buying could be.
Did the car have a sunroof?
It did, actually.
Okay, good story.
Car buying you'll want to tell stories about. Buy your car today on
Carvana.
Delivery fees may apply.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser, Caroline Rex Road here with you on this Tuesday morning. Massive game coming up for Tennessee this weekend against Vanderbilt with an opportunity to get into the college football playoff. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel. Mike, good morning. How are you?
Doing great. Thank you guys so much for having me.
Thanks for taking time to be with us. We appreciate it. So, Mike, pretty unbelievable in some ways the way that this all came together for Tennessee over the weekend. You get the 56-0 win against UTEP, and Alabama goes down, Ole Miss goes down, Indiana gets smoked by Ohio State, and after losing to Georgia and wondering if you'd get back in, the picture's opened up pretty nicely here for Tennessee. What did you make of the way this weekend went down?
Josh Heupel must be living pretty right.
Must be.
Is probably the main takeaway there. I mean, you even got as lucky as Texas A&M going down and kind of their path to maybe jumping Tennessee being gone unless they win the SEC. So, I mean, so many things went in the Vols' favor. And I think, you know, it eased maybe the tension for Tennessee fans who were so frustrated at the thought of being left out at 10-2 and a potential Bama two-loss team getting in. So they're back in the picture like they want to be, but maybe focus on Vanderbilt first because that's a pretty dang good team they're going to play on Saturday.
Yeah, so what is the – I mean, obviously Tennessee has really flipped it from losing three straight to really just dominating Vanderbilt. But we all know Vanderbilt is a totally different team this year, and like you said, I mean, it's a solid football team. What is the confidence level, do you think, of the fan base? And also how do you look at this matchup between these two teams?
I mean, I think the level for the fan base is they still do see it as Vanderbilt for the most part. It is a better Vanderbilt, but I also think Tennessee would look at the years they lost to Vanderbilt and say, well, that was bad Tennessee. We're back to being good Tennessee now. As far as the matchup goes, you know, Tennessee's kind of been bad in the red zone for most of the year. Like, it feels like they don't do a good job of finishing drives out. This isn't a game where you can do that because Vanderbilt's so willing to do those long drives. They're pretty good in the red zone. They're going to get points out of those long drives, and you're going to have a lot less time to work with. So Tennessee's got to make the most of their opportunities, and that's not really been the thing they've done so far this year. So I'm curious to see how they handle that because Vanderbilt just, from the games I've seen, the numbers I've looked at, does such a good job of controlling the game. I mean, taking care of the ball, time of possession, they're not penalized, make the most of the red zone again. So just, I mean, they control the game the way they want to, so Tennessee can't really mess around with that.
So, Mike, you know, as we sit here approaching the last week of the regular season, how do you view this Tennessee offense and where they are? We know what Sampson has brought to the table running the ball. I think Nico has made some progress as the year has gone along. But overall, how do you view where this Tennessee offense is kind of heading into this last week here?
Yeah, I think everyone else in the offense needs to get Dylan Sampson a really nice Christmas present.
Yeah.
And that is the offense. It's been kind of disastrous at times, and it's just been disgusting at others. There have been signs, mostly against not good teams is probably the concerning part of that. I mean, Nico had some moments against Alabama. He's pretty darn good against Kentucky. He was good in that first half against Mississippi State before he left, but there's just been a lot of inconsistencies there. And it's kind of past that point now to me of saying that's a young quarterback. I mean, that's a guy who has a full season's worth of starts now, has some experience last year, and at a point, it's kind of like, okay, well, when is that going to come together for the products that people talked about him being coming out of high school? To me, the tackles were a massive problem at points. That hasn't been as bad lately. I've wanted to see the wide receivers be better. Maybe that's probably been my focus when I've talked about this offense. Tennessee doesn't have a game breaker. They don't have a Jalen Hyatt. The Jalen Hyatts aren't out there all the time. But there's not a guy to me on that offense that the defense has to really respect and fear. And Josh Heupel's offense kind of needs that. Needs a downfield guy that can really stretch it and push it. And that allows everything else to open up. And, you know, so there's kind of a myriad of things you could point to. The one thing you can't point to is Dylan Sampson, just because he's been so awesome.
Yeah, I hear you. Maybe I'm too much of a Nico homer, but I feel like he's gotten better. But those other elements of the offense, well, like you said, you know, the pass protection's got better too. But I mean, the receiving core, I just don't know that there's, you know, that there's much.
It's a bunch of number twos to me, like number twos and number threes. Like you're throwing 40-yard downfield passes to Squirrel White in the sideline. That's not a guy who's making a contested catch 50-50 with a taller DB. I mean, there's just not really the guys that you want in that room. And maybe it's Dante Thornton, maybe it's Chris Brazel, but like those guys haven't become the players that I think everyone thought they might.
Yeah, like those guys here and there, they'll make a big play, and then you just don't see them again. I know it doesn't matter now, but like, do you think Mike Matthews is that guy eventually? Because when I've seen him in brief glimpses, he does look like he's got a lot to offer.
Well, that's kind of been the name, right? It's a five-star freshman wide receiver. And usually if there is a position a five-star can play right away, that's a pretty good one. It's not tight end. It's not offensive tackle. There's just some different things that go into it. That's a guy that everyone's wanted to see more, I think. Coming out of one of the bye weeks, that was a big question for Josh Heupel. Hey, is Mike Matthews, did he make the most of the bye week? Is he a guy that you can expect to contribute more now? I thought after seeing him early in the year that he would end up starting in the slot. I thought he gives you more than what you have at that position currently, and that just hasn't transpired. And whether that's a lack of execution on his part, whether it's a lack of trust in the coaching staff, I don't know. But at some point when a position group is struggling, you would think that that's a guy that probably gets more opportunities than he has. Because realistically, going into this year, they were raving about the depth of this wide receiver group, and it's not deep. It's not deep at all. Chaz Nimrod's fallen off the face of the earth. Caleb Webb's not a factor in it. And for some reason, Mike Matthews hasn't been a very big factor in it either.
No doubt about that. But and yet still, with all that being said, Mike, they got a chance to punch their ticket to the college football playoff, which if you would have told Tennessee fans before that, or, you know, before the season that was the case, I think every one of them would sign up for that. So what do you make now of that opportunity? And let's say they get the win Saturday and they punch their ticket. Like, how do you view the season? Obviously not knowing how the college football playoff will go, but the job that Josh Heupel does in year one of the 12-team playoff to get them in if they're able to do so.
Yeah, I mean, Tennessee's known for its defense. It always has been, right?
Right.
Yes. Especially under Josh Heupel. I mean, that's the reason that they're potentially going to the playoff. That and the schedule fell nicely. The schedule looked really daunting before the year to some extent. But Oklahoma not being good really helped that schedule as a whole. Like, that trip to Oklahoma to open SEC play was like, oh, dang. Like, that's going to be a tough one for Tennessee to win, but Oklahoma wasn't very good. So that helped. But you have to view making the playoff as a success. And I think with this particular Tennessee team, you're kind of playing with house money in the playoff because you probably shouldn't win a game with this offense in the playoff. It's just – with the caliber of defense you expect to probably see in the playoffs, the way that Tennessee is on the offensive side, you don't expect them to necessarily score a lot. That said, if you get the right offense paired up with you, you might get a 10-9 barn burner wherever Tennessee's at. So, I don't know. You're going to have to pay attention to that matchup. But I think given Tennessee's not potent offense, it's going to be tough to probably go on the road if they do and win a game somewhere.
And they still have to beat Vanderbilt first. All right, you know, I got to ask you about hoops, Mike. Chaz Lanier, is he the next Dalton Connect? I know, and I say that kind of facetiously. He's not going to be a first-round pick or anything like that. But he is kind of that guy for them, right? Buckets.
Yeah, I mean, he's Chaz Lanier. That's kind of been my thought on it. Just the similarity there, obviously, is a high-scoring transfer that's come in and had a good impact. And that's exactly what Chaz Lanier is doing. I think he's kind of doing it his own way a little bit. I think he's better defensively. I think there's probably a little bit less explosiveness than Dalton had. It's a different player, but the scoring looks very similar in terms of the number. And Tennessee needs that. I mean, they had a drop-off there, obviously, and he's been incredible to watch. I think Igor Milicic has shown why he is such an intriguing player. I think Cade Phillips has improved so much. I mean, they got a lot of things going for them, but Chaz in the Bahamas, I think I joked about it on Twitter, was Tennessee should consider playing all of its home games in a ballroom, because that, I mean, whatever was going on there, he could not miss from three.
No doubt about it. Well, Mike, great stuff as always, man. We're really looking forward to the game coming up on Saturday and appreciate so much you taking time to be with us.
Yeah, thank you guys so much.
Absolutely. Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel, our guest on Robbie and Rex Road. A massive game coming up in our city this weekend between Tennessee and Vanderbilt. We'll get into that coming up next. And what sort of a chance do we give Vanderbilt in this game to ruin the party for the Vols? More coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Just your players know what's at stake if you win this game. Is it a difficult task for a coach to address the playoff part of it without dwelling on it too much, or do you ignore it? Is that a difficult task for a coach?
No, I addressed it today. But I said it last week. There's a lot of football to be played. That's for everybody across the country. It's for us. And, you know, focus on the task at hand, and we have to be our best on Saturday. You can look at how they've performed throughout the course of the season, how they've played at home, you know, statistically, what they're doing in all three phases. You got to understand you're going to get their best, and their best is really good, and we got to be at our best too.
That's Josh Heupel looking ahead to the matchup with Vanderbilt on Saturday. Joe, this was going to be fun on Saturday. Tennessee with a win. Pretty darn good chance of getting the college football playoff if they get it. And then on the flip side of things, Vanderbilt already with a successful season, already bowl eligible, looking for win number 7, and an opportunity to ruin the party and spoil the fun for the Vols. Whatever Vanderbilt's best shot is, I would imagine Tennessee is going to get it on Saturday. I am very intrigued, fascinated, excited for this game coming up on Saturday between Tennessee and Vanderbilt.
Yeah, me too. And like Mike said, Mike Wilson said, for the texter who asked who this bleep stick is, that's Mike Wilson, the Knoxville News Sentinel, Knoxville, Tennessee. Covered the Vols for many, many years now.
Friend of the show.
Like he said, you know, Vanderbilt, they can really frustrate because they're okay dinking and dunking and just kind of moving, you know, slowly down the field. It's like 3rd and 4, oh, and there's Pavia with a 5-yard run, you know, 3rd and 3. Oh, Pavia handed that one, and there's a 4-yard run, and they, you know, so, like, they can be very frustrating. I'm very excited to see, you know, this Vanderbilt offense against the Tennessee defense. It is a different kind of game for Tennessee's defense. I think we have seen defenses do a better job against Vanderbilt recently. You know, the other night, Pavia hits the big shot on the first play of the game, and the rest of the night, they're held to 10. I mean, look, it's at LSU at night. South Carolina, who I think is probably playing about as well as anyone. There's a big one this weekend, by the way. South Carolina-Clemson.
Yep.
And the rivalry, in-state rivalry front. You know,
a lot of goobers in that matchup.
The goober off. But they also did a good job against Vanderbilt's offense. So Tennessee, you know, that's a primo matchup. Tennessee's defense and Vanderbilt's offense. And then, you know, obviously, just like Mike said, I mean, I have a little bit more optimistic view, I think, overall of Tennessee's offense. Like, obviously, it didn't go well in the second half of Georgia. I did like a lot of what I saw in the first half. I mean, I think there's some improvement. It's still like you're playing the edges. You're not using much of the middle of the field. And then you're not hitting those. You know, you got to hit a couple of those. And by the way, even though we rip on the receivers, I mean, Nico's missed some.
He's missed some throws that you got to
He's missed some
make.
Guys, yeah. He's missed some opportunities with that. So, I think, you know, I think Tennessee still has the potential on offense to go in the playoff and do enough. But in this stadium. That's going to be really interesting, too. What's the crowd going to be Saturday? I mean, I think it's going to be.
The ticket prices are unreal for this thing.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I'm not surprised.
The secondary market continues to spike for this. I mean, I looked 2 days ago just to see what it was. And, the cheapest ticket was, $250. I'd be interested to see what it is now.
Yeah, obviously it's a small capacity, so you got way more demand than supply. Hey, you know, going into the year, you figure this, well, it's going to be another one of those orange outs at Vanderbilt. And I've seen that place where it was, more Vanderbilt than Tennessee for this game, and I've seen it when it was definitely more Tennessee. This is going to be really interesting. Obviously so many Tennessee fans are playing for so much, but Vanderbilt fans are energized. I mean, they have a good football team to cheer for. So how does that look?
Yeah.
In the stands on Saturday. I imagine it's probably going to be 50-50-ish. That'd be my guess.
Tickets in the 25th Avenue garage right now, so not even in the stadium, are going for $204 a piece. So what does that tell you?
To go watch from the top of the garage?
That is correct.
I didn't even know.
$204 a piece. I'm just on StubHub right now. That's what it says.
I didn't know. I didn't realize you sold tickets.
I didn't either. Wow. It says Section 25th Avenue Garage, $204 a piece. Two tickets.
Holy cow. That's so weird.
That
kind of
shows
me.
You what it is right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Man. It's a hot ticket. It's I guess it's kind of too bad. It's an early game. I mean, I like it. Because, of course, media people like the early games.
Sure.
But, no, it's going to be a scene, man. It's going to be a scene. And, Vanderbilt, there is, it'd be even more exciting if Vanderbilt was, instead of 6-5, was 5-6. And the stakes were so huge for both sides.
Right.
Because Vanderbilt, they got to the bowl eligibility. They win at Auburn. And they've had a couple tough losses. I mean, it's a tough league, man. But they sort of have the – they know they're going to the bowl game. They know it's a successful season. And they can now ruin things for the Vols.
Yep.
And that's a pretty good intangible situation for them.
Well, this feels like a game where Diego Pavia could just be an absolute thorn in the side of Tennessee. Now, to your point, it does feel like defenses have started to figure out Vanderbilt a little bit. I mean, the last three games, they put up 17 against Auburn. They scored 7 against South Carolina, and they scored 17 on the road against LSU. So the offensive production has not really been there the last 3 weeks, just in terms of putting up points. Obviously, this is a Tennessee defense that, with the exception of basically the second half against Georgia, it's gone pretty well for Tennessee's defense all year. Now, this is a different type of game and a different type of matchup, so I'm interested to see how that part of it goes.
Yeah, that's the thing, and that's where it gets tough because – It is playing a different game. So what you do, and there's different schemes that the Vols have seen. It's not like they're all the same scheme, but it's different enough that some of that stuff won't necessarily translate. Linebacker play is hugely important, right, in this game. And Tennessee, I mean, I'd feel better if I was the Vols if I had Keenan Peely right now. But they also have, obviously, an opportunity to win up front, as they always do, with that defensive line and the depth and the talent. So if you win and you disrupt, consistently up front, then you can throw their stuff off, right? I mean, you can disrupt them and you can mess up what they're doing offensively. But it's assignment football, and there's a lot of creativity involved. So apparently, people are saying that's just a parking pass.
Well, I'm going to doubt very seriously it's $204 for a parking pass.
That would be the dumbest thing ever. Yeah, because I think that that you can on the top of that.
Yes.
Ramp watch from the top. That's got to be what it is.
If it's $204 to park, I'm going to imagine that not a whole lot of people are going to exercise that option.
You can go, seriously, less than a mile away and park for basically free. So, yeah, I don't think that's it. But my question would be then, so you have a spot that must be, locked in on the roof.
It must be. Yeah. I don't know.
You can watch them there.
That's, I mean, for $204, you better get something pretty cool up there. I don't know.
I would hope so. My goodness. Yes, I see your joke about Nico could overthrow the North Korean government. Okay, there, I just said it for you. Thank you. Nate asks, if the Vols don't win by a lot, if they win by 3 to 7 points, will that keep them out? No, I mean, I don't believe so. I believe if they win this game, then they will make the playoff.
Yeah.
I don't think they have to, win with style points in this game. Not the way things have turned out now. That shouldn't Shouldn't be the case. No, the path is there for them.
Just by the way,
get to 10-2.
With the way that things played out this past weekend, that's all Tennessee should be. Just win the game. Just win the game.
Absolutely.
Whether it's by one, by 20, whatever it is, win the game.
This isn't 2-9 Vanderbilt. This is 6-5. Beat Alabama. Beat Auburn on the road. Vanderbilt.
Right.
Beat Kentucky on the road. I mean, I know Kentucky and Auburn aren't great teams, but I mean, this is a quality win if you get it.
Couple quick things on Nico. I think two things with him are true as the season has kind of gone on here. Number one, I do think he's getting better. I think you've seen him improve in the second half of the season. And number two, I do not think he has approached what they thought or what the expectation was for him to be so far this year. I think both of those things can be true. I think they are true. That doesn't mean that he's never going to turn into that. Like, I've seen a lot of that on Vol Twitter. Like, well, this guy is not going to come close to what you thought he was going to be. Every now and then he'll make a throw and you're just like, wow. I mean, it's a heck of a throw. I would say the consistency has not come together anywhere near to the level that most people thought it would this year.
Yeah, I agree. I want to see, and again, as we talked about, the protection's gotten better. I do want to see him with a better situation at receiver. I don't know. It's 2 years now with Halsley at OC, and I don't want to, it's a Heupel's offense, but they don't use the middle of the field. Now, he has thrown a couple bad picks, as Joe Milton did, and it's like they get scared away from that, but they just play the edges. It's screen, 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 try a deep shot. And I know they use the tight end some, but I feel like there's more there that you could get to with him, and they're kind of limited in what they do. So I would not give up on Nico turning into like an NFL prospect and a big time player. It's true. Right now, as a redshirt freshman, his first year of playing, he's not what people were hoping he would be.
615-737-1025, our phone number. More your thoughts to get to on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll do that. Back into the Titans coming up next as well. The Rex Rant with Caroline Rex Road coming up a little bit later this hour as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and Derek Mason at Twin Peaks in Cool Springs this Sunday for the pregame show, 9:30 to 11:30. They'll break down the Week 13 matchup against the Commanders, give you the latest updates before the game. Pregame show presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment, Sundeck Nashville, Sloan's Motorcycle ATV, and award-winning Blue Note Juke Joint and Blue Note Crossroads Bourbon. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe, one texter wondering if Vols fans would give up a loss to Vandy this week for a basketball national championship. What do you make of that one?
Well, you tell me, Robbie.
No.
No way.
No.
A basketball national championship.
No.
Can't do it. Yeah.
You're talking to the person that loves college football.
Way more than basketball.
Way more.
Yes.
So I'm probably not the best person to ask.
Yeah, but you probably represent. I mean, that's probably true of most of the fan base, right?
Probably.
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, there's certainly a good Tennessee basketball fan base for sure.
Yeah. I'm all in, Mark.
That's a tough one, man. I don't know. I think that's a really interesting one. If anybody wants to weigh in on that, feel free.
What's your answer?
For me, I would. Yeah, it's hard because you're talking about the misery of losing to Vanderbilt and losing a playoff spot. That's rough, man.
It's a tough combo.
it's not just like a loss. I mean, it's not just losing the opportunity. It's losing the opportunity to Vanderbilt, right?
Yeah.
And I think you Tennessee fans sometimes try to like downplay how much you dislike Vanderbilt. But I think that there's a nice healthy dislike here in this rivalry.
I think so.
I mean, you're level-headed and you feel like you can appreciate when Vanderbilt does good stuff, things
sure.
like that, right?
Whereas, I like Berkeley.
Yeah, and you like different people. But some Vols fans hate Vanderbilt, and I mean, you should, you know?
By the way, like if you're a Vanderbilt fan this week, like this has got to be really exciting for you. Like you're basically in a no lose scenario here. Because if you lose to Tennessee, yeah, it sucks. Like, you want to beat Tennessee, but you've had a great year. You've done way better than anybody else thought you would do. You've already beaten Alabama at home. It's like you're going to a bowl game in some ways, and I know like Clark Lee's not going to view it this way, but like in some ways, you're kind of playing with house money here with an opportunity to just eliminate Tennessee. Like, if you're a Vandy fan, you got to be pretty fired up for Saturday.
For sure. Now, if Tennessee comes in, beats you, celebrates on your field, and they know, and you know they're going off to the playoff,
that'd be tough.
You're not loving it. Yeah, you're not like, oh, yeah, well, whatever. We went 6-6. Yay. You know, that's what it should be. It's a rivalry. And that you can't, you know, manufacture the dynamics of an in-state rivalry, you know? Oh, how about – oh, yeah, no, that's the question. Yeah, I'm seeing a bunch of no way on the – on the basketball
national
one.
Championship.
Nobody? You know, if we ask this question in like March 15th, you know, some people would be like, oh, my God, we could go win a national championship.
Yeah, but the game's but Saturday. It's like, yeah, right, come on.
Yeah, this question needs to be asked like in August, you know, when it's not one of the things right in front of you.
Where do you think you don't have to give me like a specific number if you don't want to, but where do you think Tennessee lands tonight in the rankings? Does it matter where they land tonight?
Crap, I'm glad you said that because I have to get my projections in. I haven't done them yet. Crap. I think they're going to be right around 9 or 10.
That sounds right.
I think. Yeah, right.
There's an
range.
Idea out there that, like, based on everything went down last week, that they're going to host a game now, and I would still be surprised if they're not on the road if they get into the college football playoff.
Yeah. I would think so too. I wouldn't, you know, I could see them possibly. Could they get to the 8? I think you'd probably have to have a little bit more, maybe some more upsets to come. I mean, some of these.
Heather Dinich has her projection on the screen right now on SportsCenter. She's got Tennessee, yeah. Georgia again in the 8-9 matchup. Georgia being at home.
God, see, that's you look at that bracket. You got Tennessee, Georgia in a rematch. You got Indiana 11 at Penn State 6. Now, I know that they didn't play, but can we just flip-flop that and get an SEC Big Ten in both of those games?
I agree.
Instead of – so that projection would suggest they're not terribly far, you know, from being the 8 seed and being able to host.
And that would also suggest that Georgia, as 3 losses, gets in and still hosts a home game. That'd be something.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. That, you know, the other night, Kirby Smart – yeah, at his press conference, they're like, you know, they were asking him about being in the SEC championship game, and he was almost like, "Oh, really?" he didn't say it, but it's like nobody wants to play in that crap. I mean, seriously. So, you know, Texas or Texas A&M, right? That is what it is, right? The winner plays Georgia. Is it that simple? Have we made it that simple now? I think so. You know, so I mean, if you're Georgia, let's say Texas goes. And they win, and which to me would lock in Texas, right? But now you're Georgia. You got Texas coming in looking for revenge against you, and you're either, you know, you're going to beat them and be a top 4 seed,
yeah,
which is great, or you're going to lose and I think not make the playoff.
Yeah.
No thanks. Can we gift that to somebody else?
Yeah.
Tennessee, would you like to play?
Nobody wants to play in the SEC championship.
It's just, again, this is where. And I know the alternative is, oh, okay, so the champions of the leagues are just the winners of the 4th tiebreaker,
right,
which is like non-league opponent winning percentage, and then you get the automatic. And I get it. And I also get that these are revenue makers, so they're not going away. But the championship games now have just been are being made so silly by this whole thing.
I got one texter that says, come on now, we're talking about a national championship. As a Vols fan, I would 110% lose to Vandy for one. Especially with a 12-team playoff chance now. If it was 4 teams, it'd be a harder choice.
Dennis, you're not getting in if you lose to Vanderbilt.
Dennis says, Tennessee isn't going to win a national championship if they beat Vandy. Trade the loss for a basketball title. Ooh. Another texter says, I would 100 times over take the basketball national title over going to the playoffs that they have no hope of winning.
Wow. Okay. I'm a little bit surprised.
Is there really no hope of winning?
No, I don't think so.
Like, I don't think that there's – like some unbeatable team.
There's not.
In college football right
now. I mean,
now.
They just showed the game at Georgia. I saw Tennessee for a lot of that game outplay Georgia. And You know, they made some big mistakes. And look, Georgia got hot. I mean, Carson Beck got rolling. So if he's going to play like that, well, Georgia will be tough. But they're not unbeatable.
Well, some of it's just your matchup too, right? Like if you're a Tennessee fan, are you scared of an 8-9 matchup going on the road to take on Indiana?
No.
I would not be. Notre Dame, you scared of that? I wouldn't be. I'm not saying you're definitely going to win those games, but like –
You could.
You're not shaking in your boots like, oh my gosh, it's Indiana.
Right.
It's Notre Dame.
And then
after that, it's neutral site.
Right. And the way it sets up too, and I don't dislike how they've done it, you know, with the conference championship. I mean, I think that's good. Everybody used to complain, conference championships don't get rewarded. Okay, you reward it. But the way so let's see, who are the top four seeds right now? So you got Georgia, you know, Miami, very flawed team, bad defense. You got right now Arizona State and Boise State are both projected as top four seeds because they're the, you know, if the Big 12 doesn't get one of the top four rankings, then the Big 12 is just going to have to be like the 10 seed with their one team. So it's not like even the top four seeds are even, I mean, a couple of those are two of the weakest teams in the field.
Yeah. I would not say it's unwinnable. Now, would I pick Tennessee to win the national championship? No, I would not. But
I wouldn't either, but there's a chance.
Right. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We'll have the Rex Rant with Caroline Rexrode coming up next. I'm looking forward to this one. Get back into the Titans.
Better be good.
As well. Tune in to 93.3 FM Totally Hits Nashville this Saturday for MTSU football. Blue Raiders taking on FIU with kickoff at 1 o'clock pregame beginning at 11:30. MTSU football coverage on 93.3 FM Totally Hits Nashville presented by Sloan's Motorcycle ATV. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Pop it out of my little, there it is, my little mint pocket. Have it. But it's okay to have your own mints in your pocket, right?
Yeah,
is that
you
okay,
didn't,
everybody?
You didn't distribute them to anyone else?
No, I'm done with that.
Anybody want my pocket mints? Pocket mints, going once, going twice. Anybody want one?
If you set off any fireworks in my neighborhood, I am going to find where you are. I'm going to drive around the neighborhood quietly. I'm going to find out which house they're coming from, and I'm going to egg your house. Okay? So I'm making you a promise right now. And like, I'd rather listen to REO Speedwagon fart into an accordion than go to a Creed show. But that's just me.
The descriptive language of Joe Rexrode on the program. It is time for the Rex Rant, but not your normal Rex Rant today. A new and improved, and quite frankly, better version of the Rex Rant is now with us. Caroline Rexrode,
welcome
to the program.
We'll see.
I have pretty good confidence that this will be better.
And now I'm looking on the camera. Did I already miss it where she fell and almost fell? And
I don't think it was on then. I think she timed it up pretty nicely.
Man, that's too bad.
Nope, it was on there.
Oh, okay.
It was on there?
Forget everything I just said.
I just got there too late. Well, good. We can get the video, right? Yeah, we can get the video and show mom later.
Okay, so can I talk?
Yep, go ahead. Okay. It's supposed to be your rant. Go ahead.
My Rex rant today is about another Rex Road, which my dad, who's, you know.
Lovely.
So today we're going to talk about how old he is because it gets annoying sometimes. So as everyone knows, he's like, how old are you? Like 106? Oh, wait, 51, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So
he's actually closer. So he's actually closer to 100 than zero.
That's true.
Which is crazy.
Thank you.
But yeah. So his use of technology is so poor, like it's crazy. Like we have a smart TV, and obviously he has to use the TV for his job. Like we always have sports on, and it is every day. He calls my older brother, who lives in Michigan. He's a junior in college. He goes to Michigan State. He lives in Michigan. Calls my older brother to fix the TV for him. Like, he has to, like, get step by step from my older brother. And first he tries me. Then he tries Brennan. And then if that all fails, Then he calls him.
What? Well, if it fails, whose fault is that? Well, is that my fault?
I don't feel like helping you because you just don't get it.
Oh, okay.
He's patient with my dad. No, no one wants to help you. Okay. So then also, for The Athletic, he has a MacBook, and he cannot figure out how to use it. Like, I've tried to help him so many times. He cannot figure out. He's using my...
You're going to get me in trouble.
Boomer.
Okay, like, I feel like he literally could if he tried, but he just doesn't get it. And it just makes me so mad. It's literally a nice MacBook, and this is your second one. And he still doesn't know how to use it.
Just getting called out right here on the program.
Okay.
This could not be going better. Continue, Caroline.
So, and then also, his phone, like, he just doesn't know. The emoji he uses, like, enough with the emojis, Dad. And just, like, everything that's so annoying about him. And then
Thanksgiving week, let's all give thanks.
This is like festive. Okay.
Let's all give thanks.
Yeah, of the grievances.
Yes, the grievances are being aired.
Okay, and then wait.
Are you just like? And then let me come up with another one.
By the way,
I had one. I forgot.
Oh,
so we were just talking about a movie. I don't know what it's called.
Planes, Trains, Automobiles.
Yeah, and he was like fighting with Robbie. He was like, "No, it came out in 1988, but it literally came out in 1987. He was like, no, I was in 10th grade when I watched it. Like, that just proves how old you are. Like, you just can't even remember 10th grade. Like, that was so long ago.
Just getting eviscerated here. I love it.
Can't even remember.
What emojis does he use that are just wrong?
Okay, so he uses the red heart a lot, which, like,
enough. Yeah, like, I love you. You know?
Then he uses,
which,
like, that.
I'll stop using it after this.
He uses like the worst smiling emoji, and like to stop.
Got a texter that says this has turned into a roast real quick.
Rex roast.
Yeah.
Ooh, now we're on to something.
Wait, Rex roast. Yeah, maybe we should do that.
Man, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that should be a thing.
Is there anything you're thankful for since it's Thanksgiving
week?
Yes,
I'm very thankful for my dad because he has done a lot for me and he lets me DoorDash. And he buys me a lot of things. So
go cool. Well, there. as long as we're buying stuff, everything's fine. Yep.
For real though, he actually is a very great dad, except when he gets mad at me.
Ooh.
Thank you.
Okay. That was
I'll take
awesome.
That. We'll take. That.
I told you it would be way better than anything you've done, and I was correct.
Was I better than Brennan? Can I? Okay. Was I better than Brennan?
Oh, no doubt.
I'd say so, especially because he's probably not awake right now, so I don't have to.
Although Brennan's rant was like some sports takes that he had.
Yeah, he had a bunch of sports takes.
And some of them were a little off the wall.
We're dumb. Stupid.
Do you have any sports
like
takes?
Like Tom Brady was like not a top 100 quarterback.
Right.
I think when I was listening to them talk, I talked to them about this when they were on break, but I think that they should stop. They're literally talking.
Use literally that. Go ahead.
They're talking about how bad these players are, and it's not like they could do it. Like, they're like, oh yeah, like that. He needs to throw better. Like, all they're critiquing these players that they didn't make it to the NFL.
This is how I buy you things. So you're right, though. You're not wrong.
She's 100% right.
My dad. So he told me not that long ago that the reason he wanted to become sports is because when he was little, he wanted to play sports. Like, that's what he wanted.
Yeah.
So that's how that turned out. And
she just, like, looked at my belly when she said that.
Yeah. Man.
Okay. So, and now you're critiquing and being mean.
Well, but we're not always mean.
Okay, but
I think we're a fair show.
We're very fair.
We're a fair show. Take this to Jared.
I could say a lot about Jared, but I'll choose kindness. So when I actually, I'm going to talk about this. My dad most of the time picks me up from school. And when he picks me up, I get in the car after a long 7-hour day of school. And I just hear Jared screaming like on the top of his lungs.
A 9-minute run.
Exactly. I actually got scared for a second. I was like, why is Jared here? Okay. Like screaming. And it is so annoying. Like, I just want him to turn it off. And he's like, it's for my job. It's like, sorry.
Yeah, when I'm in the car, I listen to Jared.
Like, and then we get home and we're sitting in the car, still playing. Why is it still playing? When the car turns off, or when we're
if Jared's having a good
house,
take, I gotta keep listening.
Why is it snowing?
May not stop all that much.
We almost have to go to break now. Wrap it up.
Okay. Just stop playing Jared. Jared's so annoying. No disrespect. Huh? No disrespect.
No disrespect. With
all
Jared,
due respect.
All due respect, you're annoying, Jared.
Just when you're screaming and it's 3 o'clock after my 7-hour day of school, it is the most annoying thing. Like, number one of my pet peeves.
Oh, that was awesome. This has been Festivus.
Yeah, this has been. All right.
So, yeah.
Caroline,
I didn't realize we were going to Jared there, but I pivoted.
I wasn't trying to.
Great job, Caroline. That was very good. Very well done. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Rex Road is just getting smoked on the text line right now, which I love. Keep them coming. 615-737-1025. We'll get back into the Titans and Will Levis coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
What's up, Oos? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Mom, can you tell me a story?
Sure. Once upon a time, a mom needed a new car.
Was she brave?
She was tired, mostly. But she went to Carvana.com and found a great car at a great price. No secret treasure map required.
Did she have to fight a dragon?
Nope. She bought it 100% online. From her bed, actually.
Was it scary?
Honey, it was as unscary as car buying could be.
Did the car have a sunroof?
It did, actually.
Okay, good story.
Car buying you'll want to tell stories about. Buy your car today on
Carvana.
Delivery fees may apply.